M19. Number 1B.
So, what Mrs. Eddy discovered was the science of being, the science of all sciences. This is terrific. She hadn't discovered just one other science next to the other sciences, but she has discovered the proto-science, the first science, that science which underlies all the other sciences. And in this way, really, she had anticipated what the thinkers of today, like those who are knowing something about the general system of theory, that they are presenting today. But Mrs. Eddy, 100 years before that, has begun to see that there is a science about the sciences. And this is what she has discovered. But when we see that and read that, do we know what is meant by science? Have we a correct concept of what science is? And mostly the students don't have a correct sense of science, so they use that term science over and over and over. So there is a right and there is a wrong concept of science, and therefore I have quickly to state what science implies. When we take a good dictionary like Funk and Wagnalls, we hear the following about science. First, the negative side, that which is not science, though it appears as science. Namely, the dictionary says that the knowledge of a single fact, not known as related to any other or others, does not reach the meaning of science. I put it in my words, the knowledge of facts, if we only know these facts unrelated to all the other facts and to the whole, is not science, it's only knowledge. Now, most people felt that if they are reading a truth, a fact, and if they can state a fact, that this is scientific. It isn't. It isn't at all scientific. This is just knowing, but not science. What then is science? Well, the definition goes on and says that science is knowledge reduced to law and embodied in system. Therefore, only then, when these facts that we are contemplating are seen to be reduced to laws and embodied in a system, only then these facts become scientific facts. Let me put it again in different terms. I take, instead of the Funk and Wagnalls definition, I take the well-known scientist, natural scientist, Bronowski, whom you know certainly, Bronowski as a very highly esteemed man. He tried to put this into simple words. He said that science is not a fact-finding activity. What is it then? He says it is a fact-arranging activity. Now this is the whole difference. So science is not a fact-finding activity, finding facts. It's a fact-arranging, a fact-ordering activity. Only then, when one sees these facts related to all the other facts, and when one sees then later on these facts all related to the whole, that only then these facts become scientific facts. And as we'll see later on, I will come back to these ideas again and again, we'll see that this is giving us an understanding of a subject. So, we can see that in this approach to what science is, we can perhaps see these two lines, this fact finding and this fact arranging activity. The one is called atomistic sense of science. The fact finding, perhaps you make a mental note on this term so that I can refer back today and tomorrow on this term, that when we are only concerned in finding truth, facts, that is a fact-finding activity, each fact we find, and this is called atomistic knowledge. Atomistic, you find every fact singly. Whereas when we see these facts arranged, the fact-arranging activity, to see these facts, how they are related to all the other facts, and these into one whole, then we speak of a structural sense of science. So you have the atomistic knowledge, and on the other side, the structural sense of science. And on these two points rests your ability either to understand the textbook or not to understand the textbook. Without this distinction and having this distinction clearly in mind, we will miss our whole effort to fathom the depth of the textbook. I come back to it. So, again, pointing it out even more clearly, Ranofsky put it this way also. He says, we are no longer preoccupied with the mere facts, but with the relations which the facts have with one another, with the whole which they form and fill, not with the parts. So you can see, as long as we study the textbook in parts, as single statements, single truths, we have not touched science. This is not scientific understanding. It's an atomistic approach that doesn't lead very far. Therefore, the model of our understanding, the model of consciousness with which we try to understand being, or the textbook, must be a consciousness that looks for the relationships that exist in the textbook and does not look primarily for the truths, for the facts, for the single facts, for the atom facts, for the atomistic statements in the textbook. But we know naturally that the relationships are not spelled out in the textbook black on white, because you can't do that. Language is not built that way. What are spelled out black and white in printing ink are only the facts, and therefore to understand the relationships that exist between these facts is really the highest sense of understanding the textbook. But those relationships are not spelled out. They must be interpreted. And so you come to a very high sense of interpretation that is necessary in order to see the relationships. The divine mind must be its own interpreter, Mrs. Eddy says, and without this divine mind interpretation, we cannot see the relationships. But if we see the relationships, then we have the proper sense of science. So we can see that what the textbook demands, if we want to read it intelligently or with an understanding consciousness, that we must read in the textbook not the terms, not the words, but the arrangement. how one idea is related to the other ideas, how the ideas flow in the textbook from sentence to sentence, from paragraph to paragraph, from chapter to chapter. That is that which gives us the understanding. And in order naturally to do that, we'll come back to it today and tomorrow, we must read the textbook not as words, but as orders, as system, as structure, as categories. This is all new to you. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it for the first moment. But I just want to show you that Mrs. Eddy has written a book that is scientific, and if it wants to be understood as a science, we have to approach it with a scientific understanding and not with an atomistic consciousness. Because, as I said, like can only understand like. So, leave that for the moment. We have plenty of time today and tomorrow to go over these things and come slowly nearer and nearer to the pith of the whole question. But for the moment, let's ask that important question: why on earth then do we need understanding? Why can't we do it like the other religions do it, with belief, with singing, with praying together, with I don't know how, with rituals? Why on earth do we have to understand? Well, this is because of one very practical fact. Because the main point in regard to practice that Mrs. Eddy brings out is that understanding determines demonstration. We have no other demonstration than what we understand. We can't have a demonstration without understanding. So if we have understanding, we have demonstration. Or we could say that the quality of consciousness determines the quality of life, the quality of experience, the quality of what we call healing. So demonstration is not something that stands by itself. It is always the automatic effect of understanding. Therefore, our whole devotion and consecration must first be directed towards understanding, and therefore build up in consciousness a higher sense of understanding. Therefore, instead of an atomistic consciousness, a structural consciousness, which is a higher understanding, so that a higher form of consciousness brings forth a higher form of experience. And we know that consciousness can have various levels. Mrs. Eddy shows these levels in many ways. For instance, she first introduces to the reader that there is the level of belief, and then the level of faith, and then the level of understanding, and that every level, be it the level of belief, has its life experience, namely a life of beliefs, that every level of faith has its life experience, you live by faith, and the level of understanding has its own level of life experience, namely the signs of being. Scientific being. So, consciousness, however that consciousness is molded, has an effect. So also, has an effect. Therefore, we must be very careful to watch what kind of consciousness we culture, we build up. So, our whole effort of study and consecration is really a question of culturing a higher model of consciousness. And this brings with it automatically a higher sense of life and demonstration and practice. So I showed you that there are these levels of belief, faith, understanding. But when we come to understanding, even that has its degrees. Even that has different degrees. Namely, we have already seen we can have an understanding of atomistic facts, an atomistic knowledge of the facts in the textbook, or we can have a structural consciousness and therefore a structural approach to the textbook. So I want to try to depict a little bit more what is meant by atomistic consciousness. Perhaps we find ourselves there because we see that perhaps we have been approaching the textbook that way all the time. Namely, it means that our effort was to know constantly more and more facts. We tried to study Christian Science in order that we see and understand and comprehend more facts. And so we were reading the textbook, assimilating the facts, and piling up facts upon facts upon facts. And then perhaps at one point we were disillusioned with finding more facts in the textbook and didn't quite get more inspiration out of it, so one was thinking there must be something in the other writings, and then we began to gather all the lectures from Bicknell Young and from John Dorley and I don't know whom, gathering facts. Here a statement, there a statement, here a verse from the Bible, there a verse from the Bible, here repeating a statement, there repeating a statement. Yes? Wasn't that the method we used to get hold of this science? And we can see we were using that terrible process and method of accretion and accumulation. And we know that accretion has nothing to do with Christian Science. Yes, piling up facts, unrelated. So the new approach we have seen would be the fact-arranging approach, the structural understanding. Now this is new, perhaps, to you. You may be confronted for the first time with this new concept of understanding. But don't be shocked by it, because everything, when something new comes to us in the scientific way, that this is something to be welcomed. Because Mrs. Eddy said, science is revolutionary. Science is revolutionary. Science is not so that it comes gently, you know, just as on a nice spring day, walking with roses and lilies on the sideway and so on. And it's all so happy and nice. No. Science always comes like a revolution into the consciousness of the student and overturns the old concept, the old waymarks, and asks for a complete change of the model of consciousness. So that the structural sense, as I said, would be that we begin to study the textbook not by knowing facts, but by investigating the relationships, the orders, the laws, the categories, the system of those divine facts. Because all these terms, like order, like law, like system, are all fact-relating activities of science, fact-arranging activities of science. And naturally, we would see that the model of understanding would give us not only a new experience, but would give us a new concept of what is in the textbook. The object, you remember, I said there are two great questions. The one is, what is the object of Christian Science? What is the object to be investigated? namely the textbook, it's God, the nature of God, the science of being. That object will appear completely different when we approach the textbook with another consciousness. It will not be the same. The terms, the words are always the same in the textbook. They never change, thank God, they don't change. Nobody is going to change them. But when we look at it through another model of consciousness, it appears in a different way. Let me give an illustration which you may know, because it's an illustration that is all over the place in the literature of any science. I took it from Dunois' book, Human Destiny, which at one time, perhaps you still remember, was a bestseller. Dunois was a very fine natural scientist, and he wrote a wonderful book on human destiny. And he gives this very nice symbol. He said, look here, if you take a razor blade and you look at the edge of the razor blade with your blunt eye, what do you see? You see a straight line, wouldn't we? See a very straight line. Okay. But if you look at the same thing, not at something else, at the same thing with a microscope, we would see a zigzag line, wouldn't we? A zigzag line. Suddenly, the same thing looks different. And if we look at it as a chemist, we would see there molecules, carbon molecules, iron molecules, not the zigzag line, not the straight line, something completely different. And if we would look at it from the point of view of an atom scientist, we would see there a swarm, big swarm of electrons just swarming around. Now can you see we would have four different forms of how the same thing appears. It's still the edge of a razor blade. And this is what happens with the textbook. The textbook, like the razor blade, remains a razor blade. The object does not change. It's stated there, it's fixed, it's there. But the approach changes the picture. You see something different. And this is something to remember. That's something which an ordinary reader of a textbook doesn't think about. He always thinks he will find the same thing. It doesn't. So an atomistic approach, or let's first take a religious approach, he finds in the textbook something wonderful. He finds comfort in that textbook, he finds all sorts of inspiration, he feels lifted up and so on. He doesn't find the real substance. He finds his concept of a religious book in it. And so if we read with another form of consciousness, say with an atomistic consciousness, we'll find in it a lot of isolated statements, isolated truths, wonderful truths, they are true. You can even prove them to a certain extent. But if you approach it with a structural consciousness, that very same textbook yields something much more, about 1,000 times more. Because you begin to see that same textbook through another kind of glasses, you look through them with another kind of consciousness, through another filter, so to say. And what filters out in the textbook is the structure of the text, and not the words of the text. Through that new consciousness, through that structured consciousness, the structure of the science of being is brought out, and not the single little facts. So this is a big thing to remember. See, that's what I feel has to be seen clearer and clearer. And therefore you also can see, because we said that consciousness determines demonstration, you can see therefore that a higher a higher, I would say, a higher model of understanding. See, a structural consciousness is a higher model of understanding than an atomistic model of understanding. That the higher model of understanding brings you also, in your experience, a higher sense of demonstration, a higher sense of healing. And if you have watched me for this time very closely, you have been feeling that I have been very careful which words I was using. I didn't say it brings you a higher demonstration. I said it brings you a higher sense of demonstration. A higher sense of it. Your sense of what has to be demonstrated, your sense of what healing is all about, will be higher in its first place. So that in this way you can easily begin to see that our effort, therefore, must be directed to culture a new consciousness, a structured consciousness. We make a break here for about 10 minutes, and then I go on with the subject.